Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And we got one for you today. This, and we're just going to hop right into the market update. This continues to get increasingly interesting. This continues to get increasingly more exciting with developments that we see going on. The setup is just magnificent here, at least for fireworks, right? Like I was telling the people on KTTH in the little 3-minute opening, you know, you're never home yet. Nothing's ever for certain, but the setup that we've been looking at, this continued breakout in materials, everything that is going to be impacted by inflation, also the kind of stuff that the people, that the vast majority of you and the vast majority of investors own very little to know of, to none of, that is the stuff that is in play. And that is the stuff around this energy crisis. And let's delve into the energy crisis, because I think that there are some really key things going on here that are not being spoken about. Okay, let me just save you some brain matter here. And when you hear people talking about an energy crisis with West Texas Intermediate oil at $82 and Brent at $85, give me a break. Okay, you were at that level. Well, I mean, shoot, we were at 110 in 2015, I want to say. This is not the energy crisis. Okay, and then on top of that, I want you to think about things you're hearing. You're hearing Biden. Now remember, look, and this isn't a political statement, but Biden and his administration is much more aligned with, you know, the green energy movement. And they are pushing the ESG thing. And none of those people have anything nice to say about fossil fuels or traditional sources of energy at all. We all know that, right? And yet now he's out there soliciting OPEC to increase production. Okay, now let's take a step back and look at this. OPEC sees the writing on the wall. They know things. That's why they IPO'd Aramco, right? They know that they need to diversify their holdings. They know that we're not nearly as close to the end of oil as people think we are, but we can see the end from here, right? And that's no secret. You know, a lot of those OPEC countries, especially those in the Middle East, have been trying to divest parts or big chunks of their oil to you know, have a more modern portfolio, to have assets that will work going forward. Right. And so now he's lobbying them. Now, those guys just came out of the worst year on record for oil last year, went negative $37. OK, then recently, as of this week, he started lobbying U.S. oil producers. Step in there. Help us out. Ease the supply crunch. OK. The same producers you've been vilifying. The same producers who you've been advocating for ESG type movements to get these types of companies out of their portfolios. Again, I'm not making a value play on that. I'm just saying I don't think you're going to have boards and management that are all too willing to jump there in there and help you. Here's another thing. Okay, shale oil made up a tremendous amount of our surge in production, right? Do you think, now we know that industry-wide the break-in was about $65. Right? He's looking at those guys, help us out. Help us ease the pain here. Oil's at 82. Help us lower the price of oil so it's back below your break-even cost of 65 so you start losing money again. Do you think that they're running out of their offices to oblige him? I can guarantee you they're not. Right? And again, this is not a political observation. I think this is an observation, and not of just not, I'm not putting this on Biden, because it's not just an issue here in the United States. I think what you're watching is the realization of how broken energy policies are, not just here in the United States, everywhere else. Yes, we want to get green, but we can't. Not yet. We need to transition. right? Now, you guys have been hearing me say, and this is not an ideological conversation, guys. If you continue to go about it the way that they're continuing to go about it, you are going to see more energy crisis, not less. Right? Britain's a perfect example. Their baseload power in that country is now wind power. Well, the wind quit blowing. Okay, right now, we all need to come to a realization that green energy or renewable energy will be a supplemental power. We don't have the technology to make it a baseload power. And think about it in terms of just economic disruption. If they continue to go about it this route, they're going to see crazy swings in commodity prices, and this will be the new normal. You know how much, you know how hard that makes it on businesses to plan, to put financial forecasts, even countries. You know, we've been arguing for years, and I think one of the biggest issues, guys, there's a bigger thing going on here. And it's another thing that I think is so interesting about this commodity setup, especially as it relates to energy. And that is, if we think back for the last 13 or 14 years, we've had some scares along the way, but all of those scares could be solved by taking the same old medicine, printing more money. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, really for the first time in 13 years, the first thing that printing money could not help was the epidemic, right? The pandemic. But what we found out is that printing money could make asset prices go up regardless. Okay. Now you're facing another issue, commodity prices. Central banks can't do anything about that. Not when there's shortages. It is what it is. And that, to me, is what is one of the most interesting parts about this, is you're looking at a problem now that printed money cannot help. As a matter of fact, it will exacerbate it. That's what I think is so interesting about the increase in Social Security, right? That increase was needed. It's due. But all the things that were deflationary prior to COVID, they've all swung back towards inflationary. If you increase Social Security payments by 5.9%, which they need to do based on it's tied to inflation, that's inflationary, right? If anything, a move like that makes oil prices, energy prices go higher, not lower. And what it appears to me is that this reflexive cycle that has been so beneficial for tech and growth, right, this constant threat of deflation, I honestly think that this reflexive cycle has now turned and you're going up the other way. An inflationary cycle. Because the way government has dealt with every single problem, the way central banks have dealt with every single financial or investment problem for the last 15 years, those methods do not work for crises like this. It exacerbates them. And yet you have a public that is more dependent and more expecting of these this government largesse, these handouts, than ever, right? Through COVID. And so, you know, the other thing is, I don't think that these people are stupid. Biden isn't out there talking about releasing the SPR. Okay, Biden isn't out there asking oil companies to slit their own necks because he's freaked out of $82 oil. Now, that's the thing I think everybody's looking. The energy crisis is not $82 oil. The reason, in my opinion, that he's out there talking all this stuff, saying everything he's saying, he's not worried about 82. He's worried about $120, $130, $140 barrel oil. I'm convinced that they see the problem now. The other thing is that, remember, I would expect, if this plays out the way that it looks like it's playing out, if our thesis on this energy crisis is correct, I would expect us not to know how bad shortages are right up until the time that they're, you know, it's inevitable, you know, they can't hide them anymore. Again, because if you're the government, this isn't, guys, this isn't a conspiracy, but if you're the governments that are short this stuff, you know, you're probably talking to each other and saying, hey, let's downplay the shortage, try to keep a cap on the price of this stuff while we can still get our hands on it. Now, like we've said from the very beginning, the amplitude of this move, how high these energy costs go, really there's no cap on it. To me, that is going to be up to, you know, things unseen, right? Exogenous threats that come out of nowhere, possibly geopolitical issues, things of that nature. But the other thing is going to be the weather. I think that's going to be one of the biggest determining factors. The interesting thing is if you look at things that are sensitive to cold weather, so we were looking at a snowplow company, shares are really rallying. You look at a lot of different things that are connected to a colder weather, you're seeing evidence in the market that the market's baking that in. Now, I don't trust the market has a read on weather any better than anybody else does. But, and again, this doesn't mean anything, but it's this is how markets work, right? The thing that nobody wanted that you couldn't give away last year, oil, now all of a sudden fast forward 18 months and it's all, you know, it's got everybody's attention. But I'm just telling you right now, that's one of the other things giving me more belief in our thesis is politicians are not out there threatening the kind of things that they're threatening over $82 oil. That ain't the fear. They know what we all know, that this could get a lot worse. Doesn't guarantee it will, but it could get a lot worse. Now, there's another development that's coming from this. And I think it's one of the biggest trends that's going to be in play over the next 5 to 10 years. And we've talked about it before on the show, but it's really crystallizing. It's really coming clear. And I feel as confident about this as I did energy last fall. And for those of you who've been listening to the show, you know that in September, October, and November, we were pounding on the table saying that we believe that this is a lifetime opportunity to invest in oil and energy companies. Okay, on average, the kind of companies we are talking about, ConocoPhillips, Enterprise Partners, you know, you go look at Sandridge Energy, you go look at some of these energy plays that we were advocating, you know, you're up 100, 150, 200% in some of these names. BTU is up 6 times. Peabody Energy. These things are still cheap, guys. My point is, though, is that the setup could not have been better for energy. The prices could not have been better. The supply disruptions could not have been better for it. There's some times where you just see these things where, again, you don't know for sure. But when all the stars align, I don't know that we've ever... And these things don't happen very often, guys. Like, I'm not saying it happens all the time. It doesn't. But when you see these things all come together, you kind of get this picture and you go, that's it. That's it. This energy crisis is going to be one of those things. And in my opinion, it already is. And I'm going to explain to you what that new trend is coming up on our next segment after we take a quick break. But I swear, if you're listening to this, you want to hear this because, again, this to me is the equivalent of our energy call last year. It really was. It is just so crystal clear. And I think it's one of those things where if you're aware of it, it's going to be wonderful. If you're not, you're going to underperform and you're going to completely miss, in my opinion, what one of the biggest plays of the next 5 to 10 years is. And it's happening right in front of us, in my opinion. Anyway, guys, you know, we talked about the energy call last year. We talked about how our portfolio stood up to what happened last March. You know, our average client was down 5 to 6, markets were down 36, right? We've told you how unbelievable the momentum portfolio is held up in great markets and down markets. You know, we're talking about our value portfolio being up 37, 38, that we're watching this developing energy crisis. I think we've built a good body of work. And I think one of the other things that should be clear to you guys is that this is the type of thought you need in your money management system or your money management world, right? For the good of your retirement. This is a world rapidly changing. This is a world that is dealing with new problems and new issues that we've never encountered in environments that we never even thought were possible. And if your strategy for that is the same old buy and hold method, grab onto the S&P 500, if you haven't figured out that both to what you can make as well as what you can lose and how crazy this environment is, right, let's look at it just on an even more basic issue. How many of you are out there looking at these markets going, this doesn't make any sense. It can't continue just to go up. And yet you watch it continue to go up. Well, what do you need? You need a portfolio that can benefit from all the madness, but also insulate you from what you know is coming. And I think that this whole energy crisis could be exactly that thing that reorders markets, that smashes the way that your current portfolio is put together. And we will visit more of that in the next segment. But what I'm saying is, guys, it's happening right in front of you. I think we've developed a good track record. Take the time to call us and just see what we can do. Right? Can we inflation-proof your portfolio? Yes. Is there crazy stuff coming down the pipe at us? Yes. Will there also be portfolios and people out there that make a ton of money off it? Yes. Is the average portfolio out there anywhere close to prepared for what we see coming down the pipe? No. So take the 3 minutes to just to see if we're, you know, just to comp what we're doing. Take the 3 minutes to call and set up a portfolio review. Take the 3 minutes to call and ask for the Common Sense Investing booklet, right? For our bond replacement strategy that makes money when interest rates are rising as opposed to losing it like bonds, that's going to have things looking out like this energy play, right? Active management that's going to get you out of the way when this story finally comes to, you know, when this thing finally comes crashing down, guys. Just invest the 3 minutes for the rest of your financial future. If everything looks fine to you and you just, this is a great bull market, we're just going to ride it, then don't call. Just stay where you're at. I'm not going to change your mind anyway. Right? But for those of you out there who like the idea of taking less risk, making better returns, making sure your retirement's good no matter what, and somebody watching it every second of every single day and taking advantage of opportunities and getting you out of the way when the trains are, I would think that's valuable as opposed to just saying, ride it up and down. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So now, I teased you a little bit. Bear with me here. I teased you a little bit because I said we're going to get right into that other segment about what I think is the most ground-changing shift or sea change coming out of this energy crisis. We're going to get into that. But before we do, I want to focus a little bit on another thing that we're looking at and why this energy issue, I think, has the potential to be far more disruptive to markets than people think. First of all, we have to understand the setup currently. You've really never had a period of time, and I think that this is absolute, but I'm not 100% sure, and if not, it's got to be very close. But I don't think that there's a period of time in the last 80 years where investors have been less invested in energy and fossil fuels, okay? So the reason that matters is because look at other areas of the market, how much they have grown, right? And again, this is why I always go back to the composition of the S&P 500, because I think it tells you the whole story. Historically, energy has had about an 11 to 12% weight in the S&P. Today, it's at 2.5. So if energy were to double its current weighting in the S&P, right? So if the average energy stock out there were to double from here, you would still be at like what, 35, 40% of your historical weighting in the S&P. So what I'm saying is that when this, if this happens, if we get a price spike anywhere close to what we think is possible, think of how many companies that's going to hit. Think of what an impact that's going to have on consumer spending. It's going to alter consumer spending patterns because it has to, because people don't have a bottomless amount of money. If their power bill triples or quadruples and what they're paying at the pump doubles or triples, right, you're going to see ramifications of that trickle down through, you know, retailers and consumer spending and things of that nature. You're also going to see other companies out there have to hedge their oil exposure where maybe they haven't otherwise. You'll have to see investors hedge the fact that they're effectively short oil. Right? If you don't own oil and you own all these other companies, including tech or industrials or whatever, you're effectively short oil. So what I'm saying is, then you go look at the valuation side, and if you look at, you know, if you figure in $50 to $65 oil, and then you run the finances on these energy companies or the valuations, they're dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. Right? So all those lines are lining up. But if this thing hits, the reason we think it could be a lot more disruptive for markets is because no one's positioned for it. Meaning there will be an exodus out of a lot of different things, right, that have worked really well. And that money is going to come flowing into one of the most beaten down sectors in the S&P 500. And the chaos that could cause in the indexes. Now, I'm not saying it is guaranteed to do that, but I'm saying the rebalancing and the chaos that could cause, it could be a lot. And I certainly don't see it helping markets. I certainly don't see it helping things that have made money, but I can easily see it just by nature of people realizing that they've got no exposure to this stuff. So what do they start doing? They start taking profits from other places in the portfolio so they can hedge. Right, or so they can have some exposure to the market, and that's the setup. And then you can just look at it like we said last year. Just look at it in terms of, right, when we were sitting there pounding the table saying to buy energy, I think oil was at 35. It's currently at 82. Right, so it can go a lot higher. And like I said, so rarely do you see these things that have this unbelievable potential to break out and make tons of money, so cheaply valued, still nobody's interested. Oh, everybody's talking about energy. Nonsense. Go look at the charts, look at average positioning, look at the weighting in the S&P 500. People that say that, it's nonsense. It is not even close to a crowded trade. Does that mean it's going to go straight up? No, like I've been telling you guys, it's going to be a rough ride. Right, you're sitting here looking at what, a 4.5-5% pullback in natural gas just today. It's part of the territory. I wouldn't be surprised to see natural gas retrace 25 to 70% of its move. That's the way these things work. But like I told our clients, guys, I think now is the time to buy materials, buy the things that we know are going to benefit in inflation, and when they go down, we buy more. We stay disciplined. That doesn't mean 50 to 60% of your portfolio is in that stuff. But you need to have at least a substantially more weighting in your portfolio to it than the S&P 500 does. So anyway, we got to run. We'll be back next to talk about the new trend that every investor can play that I honestly think if you're not involved with, you have zero chance to outperform the markets over the next 5 to 10 years. That could be a little hyperbolic. Only time will tell. But we're going to get into that coming up next. So stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. Okay, without further ado, here we go. Here is the trend that, again, guys, I'm not talking about timing it. I have no clue what this thing's going to do over the next month or 2 months or whatever. But I can tell you what our posture is. I've only reached this position a couple times in my career where the picture becomes clear enough to where my attitude flips to, I hope it goes down. And let me explain to you what I mean. When a picture becomes really, really clear, like for instance, when nobody was really buying the buy energy stuff like we were pumping at the end of last year, when no one's buying that, I felt so clear. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm some great market maven. Oil was at $35, okay? You had the government printing oceans of money. I don't really think it was a controversial call. Okay, now a lot of people weren't because most people worship at the altar at what's been working lately, right? Because going against the grain is hard for people. It's never really been hard for me. But every once in a while, you see these setups where you look at it and you go, okay, I don't know exactly the timing, but I can clearly see the trajectory from here. And this is happening. And we're at one of those moments right now. You guys have heard us talk for a while about uranium and nuclear energy. And what our whole argument was, and still is that if your goal is to reduce emissions as much as possible in the next 10, 20, 30 years, the only feasible way to get there is through nuclear. Now, the hardcore green side of this argument has been opposed to nuclear, and I honestly think is because it's just not enough puppy dogs and sunshine. Right? It's just because are there potential downsides? Yes, but the technology, if it's gotten so much better, it is the byproduct of a nuclear reactor is steam. That's another one that cracks me up when I see these pollution articles or whatever. I've seen it so many times where they show a nuclear reactor stack and all the quote-unquote smoke coming out of the top of it. That's steam. Right? They're like, look at all that pollution. You're like, that's actually just vaporized water. It's kind of like a cloud, you know? And we've been telling you that that had to be a part of it. Well, now you're seeing the world, in my opinion, come to the same conclusion. Okay, Finland, earlier this week, announced that their Green Party, the farthest left, right, the most green energy party, has now stepped back and quit opposing nuclear. Their Green Party quit opposing nuclear. Macron, the president of France, has announced another $32 billion of investment into new nuclear reactors. It's getting cool. Why? Because you put in a reactor and you know your people will be able to heat their homes and turn on the electricity during even the worst winter. And this is running smack dab into the era of the biggest spending government, you know, biggest government spending, biggest deficits in history, and governments that are also the most radical when it comes to, greenhouse emissions, carbon emissions, all that kind of stuff. This energy crisis, in my opinion, and I think it's inevitable, is going to start off a nuclear renaissance. And here's the opportunity. There isn't anywhere close to enough uranium out there, and uranium is still trading at right around $45 a pound, and break-even cost in the industry is $65. If uranium prices stay here, none of the reactors will have any to use. It really is that simple. And you're going to see this spread, you guys. You're going to see it spread for all the reasons that you think, but also because you're going to see infrastructure spending. They're going to build new reactors, just like we thought. Now I'm watching The announcements coming out of France, 32 billion more toward reactors. Watching them come out of Finland. Japan is saying they're going to get up all their reactors up online. All of a sudden, and guys, why it's taken so long, I have no idea. It's the way government works, because you could see this issue coming. We've been talking about it for years. What happens when the wind stops? What happens when the sun quits shining? Right? They're all realizing that now, and it's happening at precisely the wrong time. Right? Think about it. The Delta variant's even rolling off. They're about to open the travel limitations to the United States. More planes are going to be flying. I mean, when you look at this setup, you guys, it really is a perfect storm. It has the potential to be, right? We got to see if those waves actually end up coming together. But I mean, if, in terms of inflation and energy prices, the setup could not be worse for them going up. I mean, it's worse if you don't want them to go up. Part of me was sitting there going, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these governments, now it'd never be ours. Our government's altruistic. Sits there and crocks up another variant coming in because they can lock everybody down in an effort to save energy. I'm not saying anybody's going to do that, but that is potentially how acute this problem is. But my whole point is what you're about ready to do is pull the curtain back to so many of these people who have had their heads completely in the sand and you know, driven by the ideological wing of the Democratic Party. Again, that's not a... it's not a political statement. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, just hear me out. We're talking finance and economics here. It's all that matters. Okay. Whether you agree with going green or not, what people are realizing is they can't do it this way. It's too disruptive. It harms too many people. And it's potentially going to kill people too, right? Because of their lack of foresight, for their childish outlook on how this works. What you need to focus on is transitioning to green energy. And the only bridge that'll get you there is nuclear and to a smaller degree, nat gas. Nat gas is still, you know, I think you're going to see a really big spike because of the way that market works. And I think you'll see that this year. And I think you're going to see it this summer. But in terms of long-term plays, uranium's the way to go. And I honestly think if you don't have that in your portfolio, if you're not thinking about what those reactors are going to require, right? If you're not thinking about the other things that will impact, I really think based on the size and scope about what you're going to see, which is, I think, the majority of the power grids around the world being converted, you know, some faster than others, but converted over to nuclear energy. It's just so clear. You know, it fixes everything, right? It alleviates inflation, at least on, you know, on the energy side of things. It's more consistent. It's way safer than it's ever been. It's got a pretty good safety record. You know, I'm to the point on the uranium trade where if it pulls back, we're buying more. And if it pulls back more, we're going to buy more. It's going that way. And like I said, these things are still cheap too. Not as cheap as they were back when we were starting to talk about it a year ago. And even 2-3 years ago. We've been watching this uranium setup because these things, it's been in the dirt for a very long time. But we've been watching this setup for almost 5 years. What we've been looking for is a catalyst to drive it, right? Because if you've been playing it for 5 years, you were sitting on dead money. It didn't do anything. You got some pops here, and then it always pull back. It always fold back on itself. But the catalyst is here. You're about to lay bare all of the fallacies and all of the mistakes that energy policies around the world have done. And what is that going to make them do? It's going to make them get religion, even if it's just to stay in office, right? Even if it's just to say that we have an idea to alleviate the pain. I think Macron announcing $32 billion, it's as much political as anything else. I think, A, he's trying to illustrate the fact that France already has nuclear as much larger part of their power grid. So this really isn't going to bother France too much. And in the midst of the energy crisis, he's telling his people he's doubling down. That's what I'm saying is right. We all know that narrative drives things more than it's ever been to a ridiculous level. The narrative is finally the narrative wins and the reality wins and the economic wins and the financial wins are all now blowing behind at the back of uranium. right? Because it's clean. We're going to lower emissions. We're going to lower cost. And we're going to do something. We're going to get us off this evil fossil fuel. Only way to do it is nuclear. I'm just telling why, you know, look why they dropped nuclear. Because all those people decided nuclear wasn't a good way to... No, it's because it wasn't politically... After the Fukushima, you know, mess up and disaster, it was much harder to sell. Remember, what do all these politicians... They want to get reelected. So when you want to see the political will come into something, you got to wait for that moment to where the pressure is on them to make that decision. And we're there. And I couldn't be more excited about it. The other thing I couldn't be excited about is people are talking about the ramp and this kind of stuff. And I could easily see uranium get hit and go down. I could see nat gas. And oil. Guys, there's still so much doubt. I'm sitting there watching this stuff. People are talking about the energy. If it was going to be anywhere close to as bad as it could be, this stuff would all be way higher already. Nobody's buying it. What are they still chasing? Tesla and all the nonsense out there. Let them chase. Because I, like I said, I think that you're also looking at a setup where all that stuff, because of this and all the technical levels we've talked about, I think that stuff's going to get bloody rocked. And why do I think that? Because what is this energy crisis doing? It's injecting reality back into a Fed and easy money anesthetized market. It is a problem that printing money exacerbates. It doesn't help. And that is going to throw things on their ear. And like I said, everybody's mispositioned. Nobody's, you know, And I'm not telling you to go all in on uranium. You know, you have to manage those things because things can change and we always have to manage risk. But it's happening. It's happening, and I think it's going to happen, and it is going to be probably one of the biggest sources of government spending. Right? Infrastructure bills. We all know all the money they're all pumping out there they're going to spend. And then it sucks up commodities. It sucks up copper. It sucks up, you know, steel and concrete. It makes all the sense of the world. And it's money spent where the politicians can look at you and say, I'm doing something for you. We're playing both sides. We're make the economy more, you know, your power bills more consistent. No more blackouts. We're going to invest in the grid. I mean, it's so crystal clear. And there have been very few times in my career, and I think very few times in any investor's career, where you see a scenario like this and you go, everything is at the back of this. Long run, I see virtually no risk. Long run. Markets can do anything, right? That's why we don't want to get overconfident. That's why you also never want to go all into a move. Because you always want dry powder to be able to buy more in case it takes longer or anything like that. But we all know this market's ridiculous. We all know. And now all of a sudden there's something where we could actually invest into a cheap part of it. It wins on the environmental side. It alleviates massive problems from the misappropriation of capital and the misallocation of capital and non-investing into the grid. All these issues that are real. It does it clean. They're cheap securities. It's a cheap asset. I mean, it's lined up. It is lined up. Like I said, I feel the same way about it I felt like oil. I don't know when, but I know that if I'm buying oil companies with oil at 35 and I'm buying good companies, I'm going to make money. It's just a matter of time. Did I think those things would be up an average 100, 150% 12 months later? No. Thought it might take longer than that. But that's kind of the same scenario you got here with uranium. Now, it's a difficult market because not a lot of people know about it, so I would not advise playing it by yourself. And there's ETFs out there, but some of them are pure uranium plays, some of them aren't. I'm not going to give any direct recommendations. But I think, again, you know, like the energy call last year, like value versus tech going into this year, you know, if you want people that are managing your money to look for scenarios like this where you have the potential to make huge amounts of money with really very measured risk to the downside in any way you look at it, whether it's valuation, you know, whether it's, you know, balance sheet, right? If you want people that can find you those situations that really don't present a lot of risk, at least in the long term, but can still give you massive outside gains, then call us, guys. I think it's clear that we think about these things different. I think that we've demonstrated the value of active management when done correctly. I think if you're out there paying attention and looking at the price of things, you probably realize that you need to have a little more geared toward the inflation side of things than you currently have. All you out there in ETFs, you've got virtually no exposure to this kind of stuff. There's a better way. And we've told you the performance. Maybe some of you out there don't believe the performance. That's fine. I would tell you if we were faking our performance on the air 6 years into it, I think that we'd probably be called out. But that's fine. Is it worth time? Is it worth 3 minutes to call us and ask, hey, can I see your returns? Can I get them verified? Can I talk to one of your clients and verify that you're giving us the real information? Yes. So take the 3 minutes for the rest of your financial future to see how do we lower your fees? How do we drastically reduce your risk? How do we also simultaneously increase your upside? And how do we actually earn our fee? Right? Don't you want somebody that's paid to manage your money watching it every bloody day, especially in crazy times like this? Well, we can do it and charge you less at the same time. Call us, 866-779-RISK. And 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Call for a free portfolio review. You can talk to me or one of our advisors. Call for the Common Sense Investment Booklet. It doesn't commit you to anything. Just call us. There's a better way. Anyway, all right, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And Zach, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I got a little fired up over that thing. It's one of the reasons why is markets are opaque, right? That's what they are. They're projections. Current prices that we're looking at in markets are really projections of where markets think things will be in the next 16 to 24 months. So by their very nature, they're opaque. By their very nature, there are things built into current market prices that we're currently looking at today that we can't see or verify. Right, so markets are opaque. And the one thing I have learned is that most of the time, managing money and running a portfolio is like flying through clouds. Right? There are practices that you adhere to. There are best practices that you never violate. Right? There are protocols that you follow. And that even though you're going through clouds and visibility isn't very good, it gives you a much higher probability to succeed. But then just like flying, there are moments where you break through. It's not always like that, but there are moments you break through and it's beautiful. The sun comes out and you can see clear to the horizon. Those types of you know, situations happen much more often when you're flying a plane. They don't happen a lot in markets. But the one thing I have learned is that when they do, you don't quit managing your risk. We're always risk managers. Now, this is one of the things that I wanted to get into. So I'll finish this thought, but then I'll kind of segue into this other part. But there are very few times where you see this level of clarity. And the biggest mistakes I have made in the past is when you see it, A, recognizing it, and then B, stepping on it. Still adhering to your risk management process, still watching your levels. And when you're going into heavy on something, you know, you got to really mind those levels because things can get away from you in a hurry. The other thing is that when you see something this clearly, you always want to make sure that you have capital accessible to buy in the event of an unforeseen pullback or an unforeseen scare. Because when the fundamental story, in my opinion, is this clear, every dip is a gift. That's why I wrote this letter to our clients recently called Buy Dirt. And what we were saying was, we think we've reached that time. Where we're still going to manage risk. We're still going to keep money on the side. We're still going to do our process. But we see it, right? We've broken into the clear. And now is the time to place our bets. And if it goes down, revisit the fundamental story. If nothing has changed, we re-up. All right, we buy more. It is a time to be greedy, in my opinion. Not on tech and all the stuff that everybody's chasing, but on this stuff, especially uranium. Okay? And this gets in to another part of this. And this is why I want people to be very careful about, you know, this is why I wouldn't recommend you go load up in uranium. This is why I'm not giving you exact examples of what to go out and buy in uranium, because I don't want you to do that. Because here's the deal. We're constantly watching risk. We're constantly managing risk. Just because I tell you something is in the portfolio doesn't mean it's there a week from now. Are we day traders? No. But in uncertain times like this, we don't take chances, right? Part of it too is when you're up, you know, 38% on the year and the S&P is only up 17 or whatever it is, you don't want to give all that back. But this is the benefit of active management, if done correctly. And, you know, people be like, you sold some of your uranium? Yeah, why? Well, you know, our average uranium position is up like over 200% in the last 10 months or something like that. Right? Why? So when we get pullbacks, because they're inevitable, you can buy back more. And I think people, I don't think, I know for a fact, I see professionals do this, but to a much larger degree, individuals, which is they want to know, they want a stock pick, right? What do I buy? And the thing that they ignore is that when to sell or when to add, you can have people that have the exact same positions with, you know, and they could own those positions and buy and sell and trade them and all that kind of stuff over the course of 2 years. A guy that knows how to manage those positions and follow his process could come out with a 30 to 40% advantage. Right? So it's not just what to buy, but it's how do you manage the position? When do you get out? When do you sell it? And guys, this bottom line is, you know, I know that people, there's a lot of people sitting at home that go, oh, you're saying all this because you want people to have to use your service. No, it's because I've ran a portfolio for 15 years and I know what I've learned. I know all the mistakes that I have made. That's how you learn. And most of you that are closer to, you don't have 15 years to learn. You don't have that time. People, oh, active management doesn't work. Really? Why is it that the same guys typically outperform every 10-year cycle? Now, there's some changeover and things like that. But again, it's not just all performance to the upside. It's also managing risk. Right. And the reason I love scenarios like this is it allows us to be aggressive with client money without really taking nearly as much risk. Right. If I throw money at the NASDAQ right now, what's my downside? I don't know. I mean, look at the valuation on the thing. Could I lose 50? Yeah. Could I lose 70? Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I sit there and look at uranium in this setup. I just don't see that as a possibility. And if it is, we'll be backing up the truck. But there's a value to this, guys. This is how we make more taking less risk. This is how we avoid the crack-ups that alter your retirement. It's not just about how we protect money, it's how we make it. Finding low-risk, high-opportunity plays for our clients where we feel like there's very little risk, yet at the same time they can make horrifically outsized returns, like energy and value was last year. You guys have seen that play out. So it should interest you. There's a better way. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Keep an eye on this stuff. Look, I'm just telling you, this is not one you're going to want to miss. Okay, it just isn't. Anyway, have a great weekend. As always, we'll be back next week. Got a fire interview lined up for next week with an oil specialist, one of the top in the country, in my opinion. Been wanting to have her on for a long time. She knows her stuff. She's going to tell us just how acute these shortages are. Anyway, you won't want to miss it next week. We'll catch you then. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.